Launching at the rising billions. Disrupting tradition.
Always be closing.
Gaining exponential wisdom from street smart strategies.
I dream the kind of dreams that other people said would not be possible.
Free your mind. Nothing happens till something moves.
I'm a big fan of going all in on your strengths.
Create your blue ocean. Innovation and collaboration with competition.
Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world?
Creating uncontested market space.
I worry that people don't tap into their strengths.
Wealth creation and a new economy entrepreneur.
There is a very thin dividing line between success and failure.
Witnessing unprecedented technology.
You can fail at what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold Show with Christopher Cumby and Alan Rich.
Hi, it's Christopher Cumby with Think Bold, Be Bold, here with my awesome co-host, my only co-host, the one and only Alan Witch is in the house. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Mr. Christopher. I'm having a great day today. Thanks for that wonderful introduction, my friend. Right back at you. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. Came out of a huge storm, tornado-like stuff, and every time that happens down at the beach here, we end up with some beautiful sunshine, some beautiful weather. Got my run in as well, and I'm feeling great, ready to rock.
Did you see Dorothy while the tornado was coming by?
Yeah, exactly, right? Pretty much. I mean, geez, it definitely hit a lot of states along the Gulf with some turbulent weather. And anyway, we, you know, we always get through it, I'm sure. Unfortunately, there was, you know, some fatalities. But that's what Mother Nature does. Yeah, it's unfortunate. But here we are carrying on. And we have a great show ahead. I'm excited about talking to this individual. And, you know, without further ado, I think we should probably just jump right in. What do you think?
I love it. Yeah, a special, you know, piece for me. Today's guest is a retired Air Force pilot. Mm-hmm. And, you know me and jets, man. You know me and jets.
We're gonna call the show Top Gun, but
Top Gun. There we go. That'll totally work. he was in the Air Force for some nine plus years, and as a pilot. And so I want to dig a little bit into that because, well, just personally because I can. We'll find out how I made that transition into the personal sector, the private sector. Through vending and kind of how all that came about and how it started working with his daughter's school and what that's really meant for kids across the nation and, you know, giving a unique perspective as to a profit center, you know, a secondary, a third, or maybe even for some a primary income stream, and how that works into school funding and how that works into school fundraising in the entire industry, local and nationally. So I really want to hear that story, that transition, but I also want to hear, you know, and I want our guest today to really be able to tell us how he's made that transition. And there's been some health life challenges too that he's navigated along the way that have thrown some unique sprockets into the mix. So without further ado, we've got Matt Miller in the house today. Matt, welcome to Think Bold, Be Bold.
Hey, Christopher and Alan, thanks for having me on, man.
You are most welcome, my friend.
Matt is in the house. I'm excited about it. And definitely, Matt, you know, we always like to start the show off with understanding, you know, you and that journey and from where you were, what you're doing now. But, you know, first of all, big salute. Thanks for putting in the time and the service and duly noted and making sure that, you know, everybody gives you, you know, two thumbs up for that. And our audience, this is a great time to get your journal out because, you know, transitioning from what Matt did to where he is, there's definitely some learnings. And he's going to share some of that today with you. So it's always, you know, a good opportunity to write this out in your journal. And maybe you'll get a good idea today. and tend to get good ideas myself. And I know, Alan, we're avid journalers. While we're having this show, especially, and gaining a little bit of knowledge along the way. So, Matt, bring us through that journey. Where did this all come about? You know, why vending, and where did this transition from you being in the Air Force?
Well, guys, I'm really surprised you'd have to ask, because isn't the normal progression of things Air Force pilot, advertising executive, vending operator?
Yeah, of course. I mean it sounds right.
Well, we didn't want to assume that everybody on the line would know that. But yes, in fact, that is just a natural progression of one's career.
Well, like Alan said, I flew in the Air Force for 9 years. And along the way, loved what I did, but once we started having kids, I was ready to be home and not traveling all over the planet at the whim of Uncle Sam. So ended up getting out back in 1998. From there, decided I'd step off into the corporate world and spent a little bit of time working in the hospital, medical industry, device industry for about a year and a half, and then into the advertising space where I spent a decade. And along the way, I learned that the rules constantly changed in the corporate environment, especially with a publicly traded company, and they never seemed to change in my favor. And I got frustrated because of that fact and kind of that lack of control. There was also some decisions that were made that significantly impacted my family's finances and put us in a deep, deep hole. And so I needed to do something on the side to supplement the full-time income. And to begin with, I was collecting aluminum cans. I sold books on Amazon and Alibris and eBay for a couple of years. My garage looked like a library there for a while, doing anything I could to make ends meet. But I had read Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, along the way, and bought into his whole concept of passive income. So I was looking for something ultimately that was not just a business to make money, but was a business that would allow me to free up my life over time. And actually had a buddy from church one Sunday mentioned he had a couple of gumball machines and his daughters, and he had, you know, placed them, and it was something they could do together and make some money and do something as a family. And gumballs seemed a little bit odd, but the margins are astronomical, and the beauty of vending is the machines do all the work and you don't have to be there. So it was something that would allow me to continue my career, but also begin to put something together on the side, you know, in nights and weekends or whatever. And so that's where the whole vending thing came about. I got involved, I got my very first candy and gumball machine for about $36 on eBay, taught myself the vending business, got on a couple of Yahoo groups where I learned a lot as well. And then after about a year and a half of traditional bulk vending, candy, gumballs, toys, stickers, temporary tattoos, that type of thing, the 07 and 08 economic collapse occurred and our revenue plummeted. And so once again, I was looking for something to stabilize things. And right around that time, I had several young kids come knocking on my door, selling me stuff for local school fundraisers. I thought that was odd because I didn't know the kids. Their parents weren't with them. I had kids of similar age, and there was no way I'd let my kids go door to door in a suburb of Houston, to strangers' houses. And, that's where the whole idea of custom stickers for schools and sticker machines in schools came about. And shortly thereafter, we got our first school, and here we are almost a decade later. And School Spirit Vending is growing like gangbusters today.
What a great story. I love that. Out of necessity came success.
Yeah. Necessity big time, Alan. I mean, it was, that one decision at work set our family back about $80,000 one year. And I was just starting to work myself out of the hole that I was in, transitioning from the military to the corporate world. And then that happened. And, talk about a rude awakening, man, but you do what you got to do. And thankfully, we were willing to stick with some things long enough to really figure this whole thing out and be blessed, you know, with the business that we have today.
Well, I think he said something really key there. He said a number of key things, but the one thing that just jumped off the page at me is the stick-to-itiveness. And I know that everybody says you got to stick with everything. Come on, you got to consistently do it. But there's one thing that, you know, consistently doing something on the side, and there's something about consistently doing something that's going to take you from point A to point B when you really need to have it done. And when you make that transition from, you know, temporary and sidecar to mainstream, it's a different responsibility. You're looking at it through a different pair of glasses, and the expectation that you put on yourself and the expectation that society and your family and those around you put on you becomes much more enlarged. And it takes a lot to make that pivot. And but you needed the pivot. You did the pivot, and it paid off in spades. And my guess is that it did some other things besides just the finances. You know, it was able to show not only your family and your kids, but those around you what can happen from, you know, making a choice in necessity to becoming a lifestyle. Talk to us a little bit about you know, the environment around you at the time, and how people knew you, and, you know, what they saw you in, this new light that they saw you in, this new success that they saw you in. What happened there? Did anybody say anything? Was there any kind of aha moments for, you know, friends and family, or was it just, you know, business as usual?
You know, what I learned early on in my life, Alan, just to give you an idea, when I was in high school, I sang in the choir. I acted in a bunch of different musicals and plays. I lettered in football and lettered in track. So I was the jock and the thespian. I had two different worlds that I lived in. And my jock friends would always make fun of me about what the thespians and me and all were doing. And then the folks in the thespian side of things and the music side would always make fun of me on the jock side. I learned to have a thick skin really, really early on, and to really not care a whole lot what other people think. I had to humble myself on many occasions to make the decisions that we did. But the reality was, I was doing this for me and my family, and regardless of what those around me thought, it really didn't matter. You know, I tell folks, you know, my parents, who were two of the most important people in the world to me, except for my wife and my kids today, they live in Wisconsin. I live in Texas. I love them dearly, but the reality is, just living life, I might spend 30 minutes a week thinking about them. Well, if I'm spending 30 minutes a week thinking about the people that brought me into this world, how much time is that guy that you're worried about thinking about you and what he says thinking about you? He's not. And too many of us give those people way too much power in our lives. And instead of just doing what we need to do, regardless of what others think, early on, they thought I was nuts. Because once again, here I was, Air Force Academy grad, former pilot, now a vending operator, really? But today, you know, I'm sure there's still some people that are scratching their head, but the success that we have, the fact that we're all over the country today with close to 100 franchisees and very soon expanding into Canada, you know, they don't question anymore.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, you become a franchise, you know, master and a pivot master. And, you know, that's the success. And for those that sat back and watched, are doing just that. They're sitting back and they're watching.
Yeah, there was a period of time where I was delivering pizzas at Pizza Hut in the middle of growing our business for about 18 months. And one of the most humbling things I've ever done was to ask for that job. In fact, the guy that I asked for it from, you know, was like, you know, you're a little bit overqualified here. But I told him, I said, listen, I've got a business. I need seed capital. I'm here to make some extra money on the side to allow me to grow my business. But to wear my silly little Pizza Hut outfit around delivering pizzas, and then to be called to deliver pizzas to friends' homes or to people in my church's homes. I mean, talk about humiliating, I guess, or definitely humbling, you know. And I'm sure a lot of them were wondering, what the heck is this guy doing? You know, why is he working for Pizza Hut? But once again, I had to do what I had to do, and I had to be willing to swallow my pride, because it wasn't about them. It was about what I needed to do to take care of my family.
Hey, Matt, you stepped up, my friend, and that's what I think a good portion of the people in the U.S. don't do. You don't step up.
Well, we take ourselves too seriously. And a lot of us think, well, I've got this degree in X, Y, or Z, and if I don't use that degree, then I'm not going to go do anything else. That's one of the stupidest things somebody could do. But I can't count the number of times I've heard people tell me that. It's like, dude, get off your rear, go do something. If you get busy, good things will happen. And, you know, I was a history major in school. I was a pilot. I don't use any of those things today and have never used them since I got out of the Air Force. You know, the education is ongoing and actually starts once you're done with school. So to lock yourself into that track for the rest of your life just because you dedicated 4 years to it is silly. And it eliminates a lot of opportunity for people because of those barriers or that box that they put themselves in.
For sure.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are experiencing that. Now I think there's some changing happening in the educational, you know, side of our culture. But you pivoted, you found where you needed to go and you went and did it. You didn't ask questions, you just got it done. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. That is the right mindset for longevity in, being self-employed. So kudos, my friend.
Yeah, big time. And, you know, you mentioned a couple of things, Matt, that really resonate and, you know, certainly stand out. And I want to point it out for the audience is that, mentioned a couple times you were doing it for your family. And, you know, the extra money on the side was the seed money necessary for, you know, growing the business and sustaining the business for its growth, knowing that, you know, if you continue doing the right things long enough, and long enough being your 10-year overnight success that you've been able to, you know, build, is that focus. And, you know, I think that focus help you swim in your own lane. And you said something else, which I love, is, you know, getting busy and good things will happen. You know, I'm a big, you know, believer in Albert Einstein. You know, one of my favorite quotes, simplistic as it is, but profound as it definitely, you know, creates in people's lives, is, you know, nothing happens until something moves. And you know, what I hear is you decided to, you know, just move and know that, you know, pride set aside and, you know, all the other things, you were doing things for a reason to get yourself to that level and, you know, it required, humbling yourself, but also knowing, you know, listen, I'm putting in this time right now and good things will happen, from that. And they certainly did. So that focus is one thing, you know, for the audience, again, you know, for you to take, you know, heed to is that, you know, focus is a very powerful, powerful tool when you know what you're focusing on and where you put your attention, can either help you or hinder you. And you chose, Matt, to, allow it to help you, build a wonderful business. Now, I noticed, which was really cool. You've got obviously School Spirit Vending and you do some cool stickers and, you know, fundraising and stuff. What levels of business schools that you go through? Is it, young kids right up to college? Like give us an idea what that, you know, looks like, because it's an interesting business and, you know, it's certainly something that I never really thought about until, you know, now and seeing it. And I think it's wonderful. But tell us, you know, what that scope looks like.
So I started the company originally with high schools and junior highs in mind, with their football teams and their basketball teams.
Gotcha.
And that type of thing. In our early testing, though, we found out that the older kids didn't interact with the machines, but the younger kids did. And so because of that fact, we pivoted and went from the initial plan to the backup plan, which is where we spend the majority of our time today. It's with the younger kids, elementary schools, that type of thing.
Gotcha. And, you know, listening in, you know, for the audience, it might be something. I know you franchise this. What would it take to become a franchisee? And, you know, how would that work? You know, walk us through a little bit of that.
So we have a pretty extensive interview process. The majority of the franchises that we have set up in the last year and a half since we began franchising have come from shows like this. People in the audience who are looking to develop a secondary income stream on a limited time commitment, who are looking to develop a business that their kids can be actively involved in and allow them to learn entrepreneurship along the way. And so we spend a bunch of time on video conference over this, you know, a period of a month to two, as we talk through the business, how it works, all the ins and outs, answer all the questions that folks have and that type of thing. What I've found over the years is that the right people is just as important as anything. So we take a lot of time getting to know people, because if they end up getting involved and we decide to do work together, you know, we're going to get to know each other pretty well. Our families are probably going to spend some time together. And, you know, it's not just a one-time transaction. It's, you know, potentially a lifetime together in the years ahead. Sure. So we treat that pretty seriously. But you know, we're looking for those kind of folks. We franchise all around the country today. Assuming that things make sense and what have you, we get people set up with a protected territory. Right now, the startup cost, when you factor in the franchise fee and some of the other things necessary to get started, the equipment, the product, that type of thing. Startup is right around just shy of $20,000 for the franchise, which is very, very inexpensive compared to the $125,000 average startup cost for most franchises today in the U.S.
Sure.
They get an established territory protected where only they can work, and then we teach them the ropes and the process to bring schools on in their area with the systems and processes that we've put in place successfully over the last decade of doing what we do. Gives them the opportunity to make a passive income on the side and support local schools in the process, which is an added benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm, you know, a big fan of passive income. It's how I started my career in sales, you know, finding an industry where, you know, you put in the hard work and, it, you know, listen, folks listening in for the audience, there's no fast money out there. So you've got to put in the work. But when you do and you find something, you know, similar to what Matt's talking about today, you know, that ends up paying you for years and years after is a fantastic business. And, you know, I certainly had the great pleasure of working really hard for 18 months. And, you know, I worked way, you know, very hard after that. But, you know, to give, an, you know, people a perspective here, it paid me for, you know, well over 10 years of, you know, monthly income. You know, where I didn't have to do anything, you know, to live, you know, a nice, healthy life. Now, I'm not the type of guy that sits back and does nothing. Of course, I went on to build some other businesses. But, you know, what Matt's talking about today is, you know, the fact that passive income can allow you so many choices. And wouldn't it be great to have those choices rather than not? And I think it's a fantastic business idea. And certainly, you worked out a lot of the bugs, Matt, through your adventure and came on to something that, you know, that anybody that comes and gets involved is going to have some success. And, That's the type of business certainly I pay attention to. So I think it's a great idea. Alan, what else? Where are we going to bring Matt on the next question?
Challenges. You know, challenges. We talked a little bit about challenges and pivoting. And Matt, you're great at pivoting. What are some of the other, you know, big challenges that you've had to pivot around in your career doing this that maybe you didn't know even existed prior to getting into it?
You know, aside from the financial challenge, and just to give folks a perspective, we got to a point financially after, you know, I made the jump to corporate to where we had to go to consumer credit counseling services to get our interest rates cut. And I got turned down for a payday loan at one point for a couple $100 to pay a bill that I needed to get paid. Now, you don't need a credit rating for a payday loan, but you do have to have a bank statement that shows that you didn't have any overdrafts the months prior. Mm-hmm. And I had three $35 overdraft charges that previous month. So I got turned down, you know. So that was a big one. You know, another one as that was a challenge for me is vision. You know, being able to think bigger and dream bigger. My whole goal in this whole process, aside from getting, you know, us on a stable foundation, was for me to be able to walk away from work and have control over my time and control over money. And we accomplished that about 6 years ago when I was able to leave the corporate world and just do SSV full time. Well, I plateaued at that point and I really lost some focus. I got bored, you know, like Christopher, like you said, you know, you're not one to sit around and do nothing. Well, that's me exactly as well. But because my goals had always been to get free, once I accomplished that, I was kind of rudderless for a while until I hired a coach, a guy by the name of Aaron Walker, who has 36 plus years of business experience, has never worked for anybody else and has always been an entrepreneur. And for him to be able to look into my life and walk alongside me as I was growing our business and to share his insights and wisdom was key in getting me off of that plateau and getting me thinking bigger about what I could do and what the possibilities were and that type of thing. So that was huge to be able to see beyond. Another challenge for me was I kind of prided myself for years in being that solopreneur, right? That they could be out there doing their own thing, didn't have to rely on anybody else or whatever. And that worked great for about the first 7 years or so. But the business got so big at finally to where I had to begin to hire some people. And as silly as that sounds, that was a big boogeyman to me because I had never done it before. This whole concept of payroll and, you know, all the government, this and that, just it was intimidating to me. And I put it off as long as I could. That coupled with the fact that, of course, being a very, very driven myself, you know, to give up some of the control of my baby to others was also a challenge and required a big pivot in my thought process. And then finally, Alan, you and I talked a little bit about this before we got started here. About 6 months ago or so, I ended up having a rude awakening as it came to my health. And in early December of 2016, ended up having a heart attack. Thankfully, we caught it. I got to the hospital, got a couple of stents and a couple of arteries opened back up again. But, you know, that has required me to really take a step back to figure out, okay, where we're heading and kind of game planning moving forward to make sure that my family's provided for, our business is provided for, and that I am maximizing and doing the best I can with the time that I've got left, however long that is. I feel great, and I anticipate and hope that, you know, I've got another 40 or 50 years, but you just don't know. And I was living, you know, fun and fancy free there for years, decades, actually. And I'm actually grateful today that that point came along. So it allowed me to reassess my life, what I was doing with it, you know, what I was eating, the exercise I was doing or not doing, and a lot of those kind of things.
Life changes sometimes throw us curveballs we hadn't anticipated, but I think your ability to pivot prior to having that, you know, helped launch a navigation tool, you know, in you that I would assume comes from or might be there because of your military experience. I could be completely off with that. But, you know, you and I both share that that unique type of heart challenge. And it really does get you to look at life and opportunity in a little bit different perspective. But it also puts a twist and an accountability on the things that we do, everything that we do, actually, regardless as to what it is. And it gives a new perspective. But you once again pivoted. And, you know, that's the older we get, the more we pivot. And usually the more opportunity that comes our way, but the more hassle might come our way as well. So no being doubt. Able to pivot, you know, Chris and I talk about that a lot, knowing, you know, what to do and knowing what not to do. And sometimes you don't know what to do, what not to do, but you know that standing still is not going to make it work. So you pivot, you try, you track, and you move back and you regroup, and you've done that. So I just want to say, you know, kudos from that, Matt. You lived through, you know, a real challenging time in your life that so many, you know, men in our positions never recover from.
Sure.
And you've got a, you know, a unique perspective on a couple of different things, and you've got, you know, a second look and a third look, and you're doing something with it. So kudos.
Thanks.
Matt, you mentioned something, and for sure, and not to, you know, move past this because, you know, listen, I believe everything happens for reasons. And to your point, Matt, you mentioned that it you know, really helped you reassess and look at things, you know, slightly different and improve things so that your life style can improve as well along the way. One of the things you mentioned, though, was coach and someone who did coach you. Give us in the audience, you know, some insight to how that really, and it sounds like maybe was a bit of a game changer for you. You know, what are some of the key things that you can share that happened and why you got a coach and what the coach, you know, really, you know, helped you with?
Well, you know, you think about it, world-class athletes, you know, CEOs of major companies, that type of thing, you know, vocal artists, you know, that type of thing. They've all got coaches. And there's a reason for that, because you need somebody that can help you become the best you can possibly be. And the challenge is most of us, and to be honest, up to a few years ago, I never thought of this for myself, don't ever have somebody like that in our lives. And to have a coach, an unbiased and outside observer, be able to, you know, pour themselves into your life and to share a different perspective is huge. It also offers accountability, which is important. And to have, in my case, you know, a regular weekly hour where Aaron and I get on the phone and we're talking about my goals, dreams, aspirations. We're talking about challenges I might be having, you know, in our company or whatever. You know, sometimes we're brainstorming, other times he's sharing his experience and how it might apply for me and my company has been huge. On top of that, I'm a part of a mastermind group as well. And those men from all walks of life, from all over the U.S., share their unique perspective, and they end up kind of being an informal board of directors for me and my company as I sit on their informal board of directors in that group. And I've been part of this group for the last 2.5 years. In fact, I just got back from a retreat in the Nashville area yesterday with those guys and a bunch of others for several days. And, you know, we're the sum total of the five people that we hang out most with. And I have made a point in the last couple of years with Aaron as a coach and with the mastermind to get myself around people that are smarter than me, that I can learn from. And that has been huge for me. It's made me step up my game. It's made me look at the world a completely different way. And it's made me rise to the top and become the leader that I need to be for our very, very fast growing business. You know, the speed of the group is determined by the speed of the leader. And for a while there was no speed because I wasn't out front. Today I am, and I'm constantly challenging myself and getting myself in through events and the mastermind and coaching around people that can make me better and can keep me aware of all that's going on in society and the changes that are occurring, et cetera. Cause I'm that guy up at 30,000 feet running my company. Right. Mm-hmm. And I've got hundreds of families that are relying on me today to make right decisions that impact not only my family, but theirs as well. And I see that as a real responsibility and I don't take that lightly.
I agree. And, you know, awareness, perspective, accountability, feedback, you know, helping you see blind spots. It sounds like the coach really allowed you to, you know, level up and, you know, increase your knowledge, and then do something with that knowledge as well. And, you know, that's the big difference between gaining knowledge and, you know, is doing something with it. So, you know, thanks for sharing that. You know, being a coach myself, you know, definitely like to get perspective from others in terms of reasons why, what they get from it and so forth, because the audience, you know, listening in, you know, whether you've tried a coach or not, you know, the big thing is that they're going to help you become, as you said, Matt, the best that you can be. And the fact that you've moved into a, you know, more informal board of directors, I love that, by the way, it sounds great, for a mastermind group. And I've certainly, been part of, you know, several. And actually looking for one now, so maybe we'll talk after, Matt. But that put aside, you know, I think that you know, the information shared around that is allows people, you know, and there's a lot of people out there that don't know what a coach can do for them or, you know, what a mastermind is. So thanks for sharing that insight, you know, with our audience.
You know, Christopher, I wanted to say, you know, guys, it's an investment. I spent a lot of money to hire Aaron. Obviously Christopher doesn't do what he does for free either. But you got to understand it's a process and it takes some time. I know with Aaron and it's probably just because I'm slow, and took me a while to get through my thick head, some of the things that I needed to do. But I spent the first 15 or 16 months paying him monthly, and saw no change financially during that period of time. But there was a period of time where I needed him to get to know me. I needed to get to know him. He really had to figure out what my, you know, what points that he could help with or whatever. But here's the thing, month 16, I made back fivefold what I had spent on the coach.
I love that.
In the first 15 months.
I love that.
But here's the challenge, guys. You've got to be willing to do that. Your most important investment is in you. And so to hire somebody like Christopher for his expertise, it's a long game, guys. You can't just, oh, I'm going to, you know, hire him for a couple months and move on. Don't even waste your time if that's your plan.
Good point.
I've got a guitar teacher. He's a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame. And whenever somebody comes into his office and says, hey, how long is it going to take me to learn how to play X, whatever song it is, he tells them he can't help them because their thought process is already wrong from the very beginning. And they're looking to figure out how to take the least amount of time and effort to get what they want instead of realizing to become a great guitar player, takes years and years and years, not just a couple of months and a few lessons. And the same thing is true with a coach.
Well, great point. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. There's skill and there's talent. And you can have all the skill and the ability in the world, but if you don't have the talent to bring it to life, then there's a challenge, you know. And Chris and I are both coaches, and we both have coaches. And, you know, part of that journey is to not only, you know, unlock and see, you know, what you have now and what you can turn that into, but what you can use that for down the road, what can be created. And Matt, you talked earlier about you know, vision, and vision was, you know, at that point in your life was a challenge for you to think bigger, see bigger, and you know, see past your own particular success at that point. So I guess maybe where I'm headed is, what's next for you, Matt? What's the next big goal you are approaching in your life or in your business?
You know, Aaron talks a lot about success to significance. And, you know, we've kind of hit that quote unquote point where we've become successful with our business and that type of thing. My focus has, you know, I've pivoted somewhat and will continue to go as I strive to work towards, you know, making a bigger impact. When I was growing up, I was inspired to reading comic books. I grew up in the Chicago area. I would spend my allowance money or my lawn mowing or shoveling money at the local dime store and constantly was reading comics. Well, now that we're in 2,500 plus schools across the country and we'll be very quickly in 5,000 schools at the rate we're growing, you know, we've got millions of kids that we now have, you know, the obligation in my mind to serve and to inspire. And so 3 years ago, I hired a couple of young Baylor grads who one was an author and writer and one was an illustrator to create a comic book series for me. And they came up with the idea. It's a couple apes, Marlin and Percy. They want to be superheroes. And initially they showed up in our machines themselves. The stickers get vented out of the machine in a cardboard folder and we print on that folder. And initially Marlin and Percy just showed up there, kind of like the Bazooka Joe, but of our sticker machines. Uh-huh. Well, since then we've written 8 full length comics.
Wow.
We've written a children's novel and we'll release our second children's novel here before the end of the school year. And one of my big focuses moving forward is to inspire kids to read with wholesome content that their parents can be confident in, that they don't have to worry about what little, you know, little Johnny or little Susie are being exposed to. And to make a difference and hopefully, you know, inspire some kids to be become lifelong readers like I was when I was a kid.
Readers are leaders, and I love that. And what an awesome, awesome idea that, you know, sprouted into something a little bit bigger each time, it sounds, Matt, as you move along. And I love the wholesome content. You know, I have 4 kids, and one of the challenges, as we all know with kids, is the type of material out there. And, you know, now that we live in a, you know, very digital world as well, finding information to help, we can't, you know, keep them from it, but we can certainly educate them enough to know the difference. And I think that's the big thing, to help build, you know, their confidence young, that, you know, when they do come across things that, you know, don't necessarily inspire or help them grow or motivate them, that they can tell the difference between the two. And, you know, that comes from an early age. So kudos to building out that vision and seeing something a little bit bigger. And I had no idea. 2,500 schools, that's incredible. To 5,000, that is a big influence out there, and I'm sure only going to get bigger over time. So great work. I love it.
Man, I don't know about you guys, but I'm sitting here writing notes and I got a couple pages of notes so far, and I looked up at the screen and It's amazing how fast time goes.
Always. This show is infamous for that. Because it's conversation and it's dialogue, and we could be sitting down, you know, just as well. And maybe we'll have to do this in the future, Alan, is, you know, create, you know, lunch podcasts and sit down at least and have a bite to eat at the same time, because
there you go.
maybe something to think
about. I like food.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, but this show goes really quick, you know, Matt, and you know, you've given us some amazing information and insight. And probably, you know, quite frankly, some great ideas for our audience to ponder, think about, and look at, and you know, perhaps even put themselves out there a little bit to take some risks. And on that note, and you know, I want to talk a little bit about that, because it requires an element of you know, taking a risk. And you know, it sounds like you had a completely different scope on life before this happened. And you know, we heard all about the pivoting. We heard about a lot of things you learned. But you know, let's talk about something that you know, I think a lot of people might be sitting there wondering, you know, for themselves. I'd love to go do something. I just, you know, I don't have either the confidence, I don't have the money, I don't have, you know, yada yada, and the list can go on. What would you say to those people, you know, from your perspective now, you know, looking back, what was what is important?
You know,
from a risk standpoint.
Yeah, the important thing is to get in the game. You know, if you look at what I did, you know, my first vending machine, I had $100 to my name at this point.
Wow.
My first vending machine was $36, and I could have resold it on eBay for twice that much. So even though I took some risks along the way, they were very, very calculated. You know, something else that a lot of people do, which I think is foolhardy, is they'll say, oh, I want to start a business. I'm sick of what they're doing. They'll leave what they're doing and just hope and pray that it works out. You know, I worked for 4.5 years full time putting SSV together before I left my career. And I was making multiple times more in vending than I was working full time. So you got to be wise about this stuff. I know you're excited. I know you want to do something different. I know you hate what you do or want to make a change in your life, but you have to be responsible about it. I had a family of five that I had to take care of, and it would have been doing them a disservice to just come home one day and say, honey, I quit my job. We're going to figure it out. So taking calculated risks, but being willing to get in the game. Too many people spend their life getting ready to get ready to get ready to get ready to get ready to do something instead of just doing it. You know, the ducks are never in a row. The lights are never always going to be green at the same time for your journey. Get in the game and figure it out. If I hadn't stepped out, I would have never learned that the older kids wasn't our market. The younger kids were. But I got in the game, the market talked, and we adjusted and moved on. That being said, whatever your idea is, it's going to probably be completely different a year after you start, once you do get in the game. Be ready for that. That's okay. Let the market dictate your success and your direction. But you can never figure any of that sitting around at home, you know, strategizing. You got to get with it and then figure it out as you go.
Amazing. Nothing happens until something moves. Get in the game, folks. You know, make, you know, at least a step into some direction. Then, you know, I'm a very firm believer that the people, places, events, circumstances, and things start to show themselves as you, you know, are making the next step and the next step and the next step. And generally speaking, you know, I always like to give this analogy that, you know, when you know where you want to go, assuming you know what you want and you know why you want it, and you know, there's a journey that's, you know, going to be taken, and if you take the perspective of jumping in your car and knowing that it's going to take you, you know, 10 miles to get to your location, you know, but oftentimes when we get in our cars, we're, you know, redirected, you know, down a different route.
Need to make a left, need to make a right. The road is blocked up there. There's a car accident. There's, you know, things that happen. And, but eventually, because you're so clear on, you know, where it is you want to go and you know what you want and you know why, and, you know, using that same analogy, eventually get there. And that's the same thing, is that, you know, sometimes we're going to be delayed. Sometimes we're going to have to take that right or that left or be slowed down in some way. But it's a chance, and you know, I'm a firm believer again that the people, places, events, and circumstances and things were, you know, are going to show up to help you along that way, as long as you're in a good frame of mind to know that. And that's the big difference, is that, you know, really your attitude and, you know, the way you look at things. Because if you're constantly looking at, oh God, you know, here it is again, I knew it, something just gets in the way every time I have, you know, some momentum, you know, it's just, it always happens to me, blah blah blah, then, you know, it's going to continuously happen that way for you. But if you just look at it from a perspective that, hey, what can I learn from this right now? What else is along this journey that I can, you know, possibly bump into? Or better yet, who may I bump into, or what can I learn? It's a far better way to look at some of the challenges in front of you. So just wanted to share that, and thanks for sharing that, Matt. Get in the game, folks. Just start one place and carry on and do the right things consistently. And the key word here is long enough. And as you see with Matt, he spent a good amount of time building his business prior to making, you know, some additional things happen for him then to focus, you know, solely on this. So thanks for sharing that, Matt. Fantastic.
Yes, sir.
You know, entrepreneurship's a ready, shoot, aim mentality. And everybody we've talked to, everybody that I've always talked to, and I suppose those maybe that I haven't met yet, you know, ready, shoot, aim is the platform, the philosophy, you know, and the becoming, you know, pivot masters in what we do is a big thing. And, you know, we have to be willing to go down roads that we don't, you know, that we're not familiar with, and meet people that we're not familiar with, and be willing and open to what may lie ahead, because there are things we know we don't know, and things we don't know we don't know. And for entrepreneurs, we operate a lot in the last, and keeping an open mind and keeping consultants and coaches and such on our side to help us navigate those unknown waters is a key thing. And then if we're smart, and Matt, you're taking that knowledge and giving it back. And I honor you for giving it back to the kids. And I think that's a great place to be. And we sure thank you for being on the show today. We're not done yet, but I did want to say, you know, really honor you for your journey from serving your country to serving the kids. And I think there's nothing more honorable than to be in service to another human being. And, you know, we're talking about that today. And so it's great having you on the show. We like to end the show, though, Matt, with a bold question. But before we say that, I just want to say, you know, shout out to Chris. Chris, this is, you know, and we do this every show, but it is an honor to, you know, for us to have a voice, and it's an honor for me to have, you know, my voice paired next to yours. And, you know, it's a great way to start the day. It's, you know, once again, an honor, bring on some great guests. So just kudos to the whole process. We didn't know what we don't know when we started this thing. We had no freaking clue where it was going to go or how it was going to get started. But it did. We did a ready, shoot, aim, and we pivoted a lot, continue to pivot. But some great things have come from that. So with a long-winded approach to this, we're going to get back to the last question of the day, Matt. We like to leave the audience with a bold move, something big that, or something small, but something that they can implement today, right now, as soon as they finish listening to this podcast, that can enhance their life, or they can enhance their family, or enhance their business. What one bold move would you like to leave with the audience today?
You know, Alan, I would say if you don't have a coach, you need one. Now, some of you may not be in a position to be able to pay for someone like Christopher to help you in that regard. At a minimum, you need to find a trusted mentor in your local community that has more wisdom and experience in what they do and what you do. Than you do, and you need to meet with them on a regular basis. allow others to pour into your life, and it will be a game changer for you. You know, I didn't realize the value a couple years ago. I wouldn't do things any other way today, knowing what I know now and learning what I've learned. And I know that the trajectory will continue to be upwards because I've got folks like Aaron and the mastermind group that I'm a part of that are going to continue to push me and challenge me to make me better day in and day out.
The humble approach to success. Well done, Matt.
Thank you, Matt, for being on the show. Certainly, I've got a few pages of great insight and notes, so I appreciate that, and I thank you for enlightening our audience as well. And audience, to you guys, we really appreciate obviously listening in, and any questions that you have, you can direct them to info@thinkboldbebold.com. Stay tuned as well for our live show on Facebook that then gets converted into iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podomatic, and soon to be SoundCloud. And again, Matt, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, guys. Hey, Christopher, can I give away something for the audience if they're interested?
Hey, we love giveaways.
We love giveaways.
Let's rock it.
Awesome. Well, hey, you know, I wrote a short ebook called Live Your Dreams, the Top 10 Reasons Why You Need to Own a Vending Business. And I'd love for anybody who's would like to look a little deeper into vending itself to have that. They can go to a landing page we've set up just for your audience. It's ssvbusiness.com/bebold. And they can download that for free and learn some insights that I've gleaned along the way in vending. If they want to talk more about the franchise and that opportunity, you know, that's a possibility, and we can begin a dialogue there as well. But the one thing I love about vending is you do the work and there's immediate return for your effort, whereas a lot of the other things online and other places, there's a pretty long runway in many cases. And so anyway, would love to chat with folks if they want to learn a little bit more. And, you know, once again, appreciate the opportunity to be here. And God bless you guys, man.
Yeah, right back at you, Matt. And we'll make sure we post that URL for everybody to get the free ebook. You know, again, if you have any questions, certainly get a hold of Matt. And Matt, we're not done with you yet, my friend. We're going to get you back on. I'd love to have a live show with you as well. Would you be interested in coming back on the show?
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Live show would be great. Get some call-ins and get some work in progress.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you to our audience. Thank you, Alan, for hanging out today and making the show what it is. If you have any questions, concerns, or anything like that, or, you know, looking for a guest you'd like to come on the show, go to info@thinkboldbebold.com. Send us an email. Be happy to definitely endeavor on that and answer any of your questions. Again, this show wouldn't be a show without me saying, do something nice for someone today.